Hello, everybody. It's the 18th of August, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. John Coleman here, your internet pastor. Yesterday, it's been a while since I've gotten this webcast done because what I've been doing is I've been focusing, concentrating, spending an awful lot of time thinking about what I was going to say about yesterday. Very interesting. My radio producer, Mark Ramsey, has been having some real interesting video clips up of the Beatles and a lot of the music that came up when he and I were both young men. Mark is far younger than me. He's 53. I'm 71. But he remembers the era because he was a kid coming up. And who could ever forget the Beatles? Who could ever forget those big bands, those rock and roll bands? When you think about it, when I was a Christian back in the day, we were told about these groups and about the influence of these groups and how Satan had taken over the music of America. Matter of fact, I was looking at one of the clips and it showed the Beatles in, I don't know, it must have been Yankee Stadium or something like that, a huge stadium, and girls fainting, falling out, and having conniving fits. This was really the first time yesterday, was really the first time that people begin to experience the soul of music. You know, music making an impact. And when you look at the gradual degradation of human morals in our music, when you weigh the music from the 60s, back in the Beatles, with the music today, there's no comparison, because the Beatles were not allowed to use curse words and talk about B and W's, you know what that is, and all that kind of stuff. They weren't like yesterday. That was not allowed, even in the wildest of rock and roll music. When you think about that, it was outrageous to not only to expose yourself, but to expose your ideas to a live audience. They were listening very close, and they had the federal government involved in that, and so it was different yesterday. It was different yesterday in our churches because the kind of a doctrine that we heard. You know what? I saw something, and it was kind of wild, really, because I had never seen anything like that before. But there's a video clip up. Last Sunday in Grace Community Church, some guy confronted John MacArthur on the stage of his church and challenged him on cessationism. You know, John MacArthur talking about all that stuff is ceased in the Bible, and this man just came on the stage and called it what it was. And you know what? I think that that's a shame. I've never had that happen to me in my entire career as a pastor. I've never had anyone approach me like that. But John MacArthur has been telling so many lies here lately and so much foolishness that a lot of people are speaking out now. I've been speaking out for years about it, but nobody paid attention to me because I'm just a crazy black man running my mouth. I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, why is everybody else becoming so cognitively aware? And then John MacArthur's not the brilliant exegete that we all thought that he was, by his own admittance. I saw one video clip on YouTube today. That man has never read any manuscripts from any other language. He, as a matter of fact, said he doesn't even know what's in the Russian Bibles, the Spanish Bibles, the other Bibles and all that. Well, how can he sponsor preachers from his institute, paying all that money to go through his institute to take those to take that doctrine back to their churches, and he doesn't even know what the Bible teaches? This man is a contradiction in logic, any way you want to look at it. And I'm glad that somebody else, I don't know what they can charge him for, because he didn't touch him. He just ran up on the stage and whistled whoop to get his attention, to get his mind out of that. And John MacArthur stands there like an idiot that he is. Man, I have never seen anything like it, but it was rewarding. As a matter of fact, refreshing. Yesterday, you would not see that. You would not see that. I was very, very Calvinistic and very adamant about my Calvinistic approach. I would always allow someone to come and talk with me about their differences, and I would present mine, and they would present theirs, and we would leave as brothers, as company together. And most of the time, this was yesterday, I would say, it doesn't matter what you believe. I believe that the whole central criterion of the true faith or belief in God, anyway, is love. And if that love does not exist, I don't know how anyone can say that they are in any way united or attached or connected with loving. And I'll rest my case on that because I still love. I'm going on 72 and I'm still loving. And it feels good. It feels good to love people. It really does. But you know what? Yesterday, love was stern. Love was that kind of an approach. You know, I talk with the young men a lot of times and I tell them, I say, I love you, but I'll be, excuse my French, I'll be damned if I'm going to let you try to run ramshackle with me. No, that's not the way old school people was. No. Oh, no. No. I like that old story. You used to hear them, you know, let's segue to the other thing. Are they still killing our boys out there? Yeah, they're killing us. Yeah, they're killing us. That latest video clip that's out of how many of 7 or 8 officers trying to get a 16-year-old kid because he was riding his bike, what, without a helmet? Are you kidding me? In South Central Los Angeles, you ain't going to see no kids here in the middle of the ghetto paying $30 and $40 for a riding helmet. LAPD, or should I say, because I'm telling you, it looked like the Mexican cartel out there trying to get that black boy to come out that house. And I know his parents and his loved ones love that boy and everything. They're trying to keep him alive. But that kind of approach, and somebody needs to contact Chief Beck and say, what do you think about this? What do you think about this approach? Is this the approach to law enforcement? No, it's an encroachment against young black boys in the street of Los Angeles or any of our major cities. I was also pointed out, it was also pointed out to me on Vice News. Yes, I do watch that because there's where you get some of the best news around, that there are so many Hispanics in Chicago that Chicago now looks like Los Angeles. Now, I don't know what Donald Trump is talking about, that if he gets elected, he's going to send them all across the border and send them back. He ain't doing nothing. They're talking about, I read it in the news this weekend, what, $20, $30 million, $1 billion, or whatever? Yeah, we can do it. No, you can't. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm going to tell you straight from this pastor's. Listen, if you get rid of all of this quote-unquote undocumented illegals in this city, 75% of the functionality of this city would shut down. It would shut down. I am very pleased that my neighbors, which are Hispanics, have moved in my neighborhood. Man, there is more greenery coming up around here. I was talking with a dear friend of mine who's over 50 years old. I said, what are you doing today? He says, well, I have to get some charcoals. Because me and my Mexican neighbors, they want me to barbecue. They smell me barbecuing sometime, and they want me to barbecue some of their food, and we're going to hang out together. I said, wonderful, man. That's what Los Angeles is all about. He's black. They're Hispanic. This is where we're going. So I don't know where Donald Trump is coming from. Don't get it twisted. I kind of like Trump because Trump thinks on his own. He is not a part of the dialectic. I doubt if the system will allow him to become the president in this country the way they allowed Barack to, because they needed Barack to bring about change, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yesterday, we're looking at the world from today's lens, from today's perspective. Leonard, thank you very much. Leonard's a very dear friend of mine. But Leonard, I wasn't on that list that you sent me. About the Agent Orange. That was for the Korean War. I was stationed in Korea, in Seoul, Korea, during the Vietnamese War. Yeah, yeah. I'm not that old, because the Korean War veterans would be about, let's see, I'm 71. They would be about 78, 80, 82, something like that. So I was in the war after Korea, because the U.S. has gotten herself engaged in all these conflicts. Now they got our boys being blown apart, killed, blown up, and everything. And when they come back, the VA won't even take care of them right. Our boys are crippled, legless, eyeless, brainless, everything else. Most of the money in the budget should go to those. Those are the real warriors, the ones that are toe up, the ones that are coming home. These white boys that ain't got a lot of money, just like the black boys. Black boys come back to the city. They'll probably get into the drug thing, because that's the quickest way to make money around here. It ain't no jobs open up for nobody, or unless you get in law enforcement. And then when you put a bunch of retired military men in law enforcement, you're going to have a bunch of killers on your hand out in the street with weapons that they know how to take the major population out. That's why you see all of this hone in and all that kind of stuff. Well, they travel in packs, LAPD, because now the citizenry is not going to take that BS from them. Oh, yes, I'm very militant when it comes to that. And I have said before, and I'll say it again, I love my community and love the people in my community. I will always love the people in my community. They eat the food I eat. They breathe the air I breathe. I know the system the way they know the system. No, I've never been on welfare. I've never been on the docket. I thank God that he's given me strength in a couple of weeks to go on back to work and earn some money and make a decent living and show these young men how to do that. But I tell you one darn thing. I am not, and I put emphasis on this, I am not going to give up and give out. Because you see, that's what the system wants we to do. See, yesterday it wasn't like that. Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. You know the Beatles. Oh, I'm just focused on another day, but I can't get out of my mind what happened yesterday. Yesterday, you could tell the truth with an open Bible to anyone, and somebody on radio would say, yeah, man, I believe it. Now, today, you tell the truth with an open Bible, and they said, I'm sorry, do you believe that cock and bull story about a man coming in the clouds one day to take you away? Let me address that a little bit. I'm going to tell you something. That day comes when I die. Now, if a day comes prior to me dying where God in his holy divine presence swoops down and takes me up, I ain't thinking about no Star Wars or Starship Enterprise. I'm talking about resurrection, rapture, that kind of talk. You have to read it in the Bible. And if you do strict exegesis on it, either the writers were tweaking back in the day, and you can check some of the most original manuscripts, and they do not contradict themselves. I believe in the Hagias Biblos. I will always believe in it. It has kept me all these years. I will not deny it, for he has never denied me. Who is he? He is Jehovah God. I put my stamp of approval on that. I know that in the future, that they may have alien religions coming to this country, trying to come in and infiltrate the American mind with the toad frog religion, which I think has already incapacitated the entire church because they don't have guts enough to say what they need to say. See, here again, that's why I like Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is saying what needs to be said. It is illegal what is taking place, and until you address the illegality. Now, let me give you some more illegality, or whatever that word phrase means. It's illegal what our government is doing to us. It is illegal what our president is doing to us. That's right, Barack Obama. It is illegal what a lot of people are doing to us. It is illegal what some of these straight people are doing to the gay people. Wait a minute. You go into a bakery and said, I want you to make a wedding cake for me and my friend. We'll pay you $1,500 to make this wedding cake. Oh, well, who are you marrying? And then George goes in to order the cake, and he says, I'm marrying Leroy. And then the Christian group that owns the bakery, that's supposed to love everybody, not supposed to be getting involved in anybody's life, because if a Muslim came in and asked, could you make a cake for them? Would you make a cake for the Muslim? If they were married, they're marrying a male to a female. They're not married. No, that's none of your business. What is your business? Your business is making cakes and selling it to human beings. See what I mean? And yesterday, we would have made the cake, kept our mouth shut, mind our own business, and say, you know what? Leroy is marrying Henry, but I'm going to make the best cake for them and so that their life can be happy because they need to be happy. Now, you leave that with God, whether they should live with each other, because that's none of your business. Quiet is kept. You see what I mean? Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. We didn't waste our time doing stuff like that. We would say, oh, Jethro's going to hell. We don't know where Jethro went, but when you look at Jethro and Leroy's life together, Jethro and Leroy's life, man, they ain't never fought each other, never cursed at each other, never threatened each other, didn't have to have a biopsy or some kind. No, what do they call that thing when you get married? You got to have a package, a prenuptial. What's a prenuptial? A prenuptial is saying, well, I got to have a guarantee that you ain't going to take my stuff because I'm getting with you really, baby. But I don't dig you at all, nor do I trust you because I know your kind and you female species. Whenever you marry us, when we got a lot of money because we do a lot of business, all you want is a new car, the new house, the fancy pool, the black credit card, and everything else because you want to live large on me. Now, that's what marriage consists of in this country. So all this gingham white picketed fence and nice condo and spa and the pool and all that kind of stuff, oh, that's all nice and well, but Southern California is going through a drought, so you really ain't got that much time spending all that time wasting water. You should see my front lawn. I had to take a picture of it and send it to you. Oh my goodness. Yesterday we could water our lawns. Now today, and with the weather that's happening, and man, these strange weather patterns, yesterday it's hot enough to bake a pig on the sidewalk. Today it's overcast, cloudy, much cooler, but humidity is crazy in Los Angeles this morning. Humanity has never experienced such a conglomerate of situations going on here. Let me pause for a second. All right, I want you to listen to this because this is what they're doing out there.
Welcome to the coming apocalypse.
Listen.
Evangelist and pastor Paul Bagley will take you on a journey into the end times prophecy. He'll examine current world events and explain how they relate to the end times. For decades, Pastor Bagley has provided people all over the world with an understanding of today's world events from a biblical perspective. Now, here's your host, Pastor Paul Bagley.
Now, that little clip got 203,367 hits. That's a lot of hits, and a lot of people are listening to this stuff. Let me see what the first, he says, oh my goodness, this person, Millie Starr, okay, says, I just think that's so awesome. You have a TV program that could help wake up a lot of people. I think it's so excellent. Blessed. Much love, Pastor Paul. And I like how your show starts. Very nice introduction. Yeah, but it's Hollywood. Everything is Hollywood. When the coming apocalypse comes, it will be like Jesus says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of God, when judgment comes, it's coming like a flash. Yeah, these YouTube clips are kind of unique, because you can see all of this stuff right here. And they have a bunch of stuff down here, man, all kind of. Two girls have gotten very popular. Two black gals, as a matter of fact, have gotten very popular over the internet because they just set up in front of the TV screen and talk about Hillary and Donald Trump and everything else. And everybody's getting a kick out of it. Everything is entertainment. Yesterday wouldn't be like that. FCC would have controlled that without even letting that stuff on the air. But, oh my goodness, I just, oh. Well, Well, yesterday. Did I like it better yesterday than I like it today? No. Do I like today better than yesterday? No. I'm living today. And as I live today, I know that yesterday forms the way I deal with my world today. I am still a very strong moralist, but I am not that strong in terms of defending the government that I'm living under, because the government that I'm living under has changed tremendously. And as a believer in the one God of the universe, Jehovah, there is no other. And no, I cannot prove that Jehovah is really alive and that he's, no, I can't do it. The only thing that I can suggest to you is that my heart has been forever changed and rendered incapacitated when it comes to denying him. I can't do it. I know that pain is a hard thing. It's a hell of a thing to deal with, and torture and fright and fear and all of that. And that's a tragedy to the human soul and consciousness. But I must say, in all of my living brains, I cannot deny him. For he has not once denied me. Though I have suffered greatly, I will not deny the idea of God. And with that idea of God also comes the idea of moral, ethical persuasion. I believe that the greatest, now I'm not demeaning any more of God's creation, because yesterday I did. I thought that animals were just to be eaten, slaughtered, and consumed by the furs, the leather, and everything for human consumption. I was wrong as a young man, because the older I get, as a matter of fact, I look at my poor little dog. I look at him and I see him suffering. I actually have feelings for him. I know a lot of people may call me a pansy for that, but I have greater feelings for human beings. When I look at Vice News and see the suffering that's taking place all over the world, man, when I look at the Syrians trying to, you know, man, wait a minute, they have something here. The real story, Barack and Michelle Obama, the unholy, what is this? Wait a minute. This is the real story, Barack and Michelle Obama, the unholy phony couple. See, they have all this stuff on here concerning the president, and this is from the Doctor of Common Sense. Oh my goodness, they're saying that the president is gay, and Michelle and Barack never have had a real job. Jeremiah Wright is gay too, and they said Michelle is a mooch and Obama likes using people. Now this is coming from a guy called the Doctor of Common Sense. Yesterday you would, ooh, and this looks like a black guy talking about him too. Man, yesterday you wouldn't see this, and today, how many hits? 1,012,000. I'm gonna down the commercial, because I don't want to hear the commercial. But I'm kind of curious to see, man. Yeah, this is what they have all over the internet, and this is influencing people's minds. Watch this.
What do you know about the Obamas? You really need to understand who these people are. They are elitists. They are phonies. They are fraudulent. That's who they are. People get mad when I tell them the truth about the Obamas. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense, E.T. Williams. Please visit the website at www.whateverhappenedtocommonsense.com. Now, I did a video a while back, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago. It was called The Real Story Behind Barack and Michelle Obama. As a matter of fact, I'll put a link to that video also.
And you can go to that and look at that whenever you want to. I'm going to bookmark this page because obviously I want to see what the you know, what the heck he's talking about, though I don't really, come on. But yesterday, you wouldn't even find stuff like that on the internet. Now, anybody can, well, come on. Since I got almost 500 clips up on YouTube, anybody can put anything up there if they let my stuff up there. But see, what I'm talking about is eternal matters. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with a friend of mine, telling him that, you know, my money's all funny and everything, and so I was going to shut the whole website down and YouTube and everything. And not only my sister from Chicago, but somebody else told me, they said, John, do you know how many people still listen to you, man? I said, man, ain't nobody listening. He said, John, do you know how many people are still listening to you? Your candor, your way of speaking. He said, yeah, you're a senior citizen. You're an old dude, but you ain't walking over crippled. You walking upright. No, you guys would love my diet now. It's wonderful. I will admit, I had a little, what do you call it, little muffin. I made a little muffin, put a little honey on it because I like, you know, cake bread now and then for dessert. But I eat fruit. I eat fruit, potatoes, tomatoes, very little meat stuff. I haven't had, the only meat that I eat really is salmon. But during the day, no meat. Matter of fact, one of my sons went out and got breakfast from, you know, some of these McDonald's breakfast and everything. And I told him, no, son, I don't eat that. He asked me if I was hungry. I said, yes, I'm hungry. But the only thing that I've had is water and a cup of coffee. It is now, what time is it? It's going on 9 o'clock in the morning. Because I don't eat that stuff. That stuff is what's killing us in the city. I go to a fresh farmer's market kind of thing, buy some fruits. I have apples, tomatoes, man, frozen strawberries, frozen fruit, because I make myself a smoothie. But I don't eat this other stuff, because you know what? When I was eating it, it was killing me. I felt it encroaching in my system. I would buy anything from the fast food place. And some of it is pretty good. El Pollo Loco is pretty good because they use more vegetable beans and stuff like that. I like that natural food. The Mexican kind of eating is healthier than eating red meat, pork and beef and grease and lard and all that. That stuff is killing us as a people. We need to stop eating that stuff. Man, I got to listen to that guy and see who he is, because I have never heard of this guy before. He is something else. My goodness. And then they got another one here. Obama says he ain't leaving office in 2016, so get ready. I don't know what that's all about, but whatever. You know, YouTube is something, man. And they got music on here like yesterday. You would go to music. I don't even know who these people are in music today. I really don't. Let me see if I know anybody here as compared to yesterday. Can I Feel My Face? I don't know who this is by. Let me see.
With Sprout by HP and Intel RealSense technology, Ryan can scan, draw, and design.
Oh, no. I don't know what that is. Oh, I want to skip the ad, man. Now, come on. Here's the latest song. Okay, The Weeknd.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know. This I know.
Stay forever young. You know, it all sounds alike to me. Yesterday, I mean, but I kind of like the rhythms of it and everything. And what I see coming from the inner city is these brothers can still sing and they know how to do all that. But I'm not into that. The Weeknd, Can't Feel My Face. That's the official video. And I don't know who this is. And it says, Is it hot in California? That pine trees are burning down? Oh, people are talking about that. Come on, it's hot in California. Everything has changed. Man, they got one here. The best life compilation of three. King of Thug Life is the Pope? What? Oh, my God. Anyway, that's the world that I live in today. If I would give you some advice, I mean, I think some helpful advice that could help you, that can help you get along, and so that yesterday won't entrap you, and so that you won't feel bad about today, because you may say, okay, Pastor John, Internet Pastor, how do I affect the people in my community? Okay, give some real talk here, okay? Where's my real talk bell at? I haven't done that in a while. So it's time to come back here. Real talk, right? Yes. Let's do some real talk. How do you effectively win people? By loving them right where they are. And loving them right where they are means don't try to shove your religion down anybody else's throat. One of my young men that I've helped out over the years, loved the cat. He just became a father. And he told me something the other day, and it really blessed my heart. And, you know, whereas I dump some young cats, I dump them because there's no help for them. You know, if a dude don't want to work, there's no hope for anybody that doesn't want to work. You got to be able to work in a society. I mean, if the only job available was working for the Mexican cartel, you got to work. You got to dig the trench from one place to the next. You got to smuggle the stuff in the best way you can. Because, see, their whole families are made. I'm just looking at things in a different light. But that's illegal, John. That everything is illegal in this country. What do you think is legal here? Everything is illegal here. How do you think those guys in Wall Street got with it? What about all the people that lost all their money? And them IRAs and all those other accounts and those top executives. Okay, cashing in. Their families living like millionaires for the rest of their lives, for 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 generations down the line. People putting everything on the line and lost it all. Don't tell me about criminality. I know what criminality is. Criminality, these fake behind preachers. Look at John MacArthur. Now, why couldn't that guy get up there and say, listen, this is my... I would have answered like this when the man jumped on the stage. Wait, let me try to find that clip and play it for you since I'm talking about it, and so you would know I'm not out of my mind. All right, I just raised the video clip, and if you want to find it on your browser, it's called Exclusive Footage, John MacArthur Confronted. Okay, and this is by Dharma Productions. August 16, 2015, a man approaches John MacArthur during a service at Grace Community Church, claiming to be a prophet sent to comfort John, to confront John on his views on cessationism. Okay? On an unrelated note, apparently he also disagrees with ICE, with the ICE, as in the, let me see what this says, with the ICE, as he is in the country on an expired visa. Okay, it doesn't make any difference, but what is cessation? For some of you that don't know what cessationism is, I'm a cessationist. I was a cessationist all my Christian experience, meaning that God is not speaking in any other way but through the Bible. Now, what I mean by that is this. God is not giving any new revelation other than the new revelation that he's given in the Bible. Now, if you're a cessationist, that's what you believe. And most conservative evangelical institutions believe that the scriptures are not continuously being written, or God is not continuously writing his will on the hearts of men. Well, you see, John MacArthur also believed that the day of the prophets were over, but I disagree with that because I believe that my life, when you look at my old video clips on YouTube, you can see that I am a modern day prophet. I look at my work now on YouTube and I'm saying, oh my goodness, that's true. Because I've forgotten me putting the outline together. I've forgotten me preaching it, teaching it, studying it, and everything. But when I listen to it, it all makes sense. That's why very rarely do you hear anybody going to my clips and saying that there's something wrong with what I taught. There's nothing wrong with it. But I want you to listen to this confrontation if you can hear it all. I think I have it turned up. John MacArthur is teaching, and listen to what the guy says.
You have grieved the Holy Spirit of God. Your doctrine of cessation is an error. He has been grieved, John MacArthur. I'll be setting to tell you that. You're sharpening the sword and they're cutting each other. You do not believe in prophets, you're looking at one. God took mercy on you, teaching the truth. Your doctrine of cessation is an error, John MacArthur. It's an error.
I've been in the room. I've been in that very room that you guys are looking at. I've been in the room. I've seen the pulpit that comes up and out of the floor. I've heard the wonderful orchestra and all of that stuff. I mean, this. The man has it painted just right and has this huge cross and everything like that. But God is working, and God is working in a way that is far different from what you would think. It's far different from what, let's say, anyone in white America would think. You know, God says that America is just for the whites and the one percenters, and we got to make sure that everything is done on the up and up. Yeah, right. I can understand that. Well, listen, he was confronted. This thing has over 21,000 hits, 21,260 hits, and people are talking about it. One person writes, oh, this is interesting. He says, he quotes 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. 33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And in all the churches of the saints. Well, that wasn't confusion. That wasn't confusion. That was a man stating, no, that's not right. Here's another one. Somebody quote Nahum 1 and 2. And it says, no, he's not necessarily doing that. I could easily say someone is twisting your words as well as the rest of the scripture. I don't mean that your writing is inspired. See, now, all of this rant gets started over that. Let's deal with the real. Is God still working and speaking today outside of what he has said in the Bible? And could he ever contradict himself? The answer is no. God ain't saying something new where he would contradict himself. If he inspired the word of God that says, I do not call a woman to speak and to usurp authority over a man, and a woman is doing exactly that. Well, that woman, I don't care whether she calls herself a pastor, God is not doing a new thing. Dr. MacArthur is correct. He is not ordaining women if he forbade them 2,000 years ago when the church got its start. And there's a reason for that. And when you look at the feminization of the male community in this country, that's why I like Donald Trump a little bit, because he's not a feminized male. He's going to tell you what he thinks, and he doesn't care what you think after you heard it. Now, you may not like that, but I think that's kind of gutsy, and that's the way a man is supposed to be. A man's not supposed to bow. He's not supposed to bow to the whim of the crowd. Flip the crowd. It's not about the crowd. Never has been about the crowd. Wait, let me go out and ask this guy something. Hold on. All right, I'm back. I guess I'll end up this webcast. I was just, oh yeah, see, the magic bell went off once me to end up. But I find it extraordinary that yesterday it appears that our lives were far simpler than it used to be. Far simpler than it used to be. Our lives are no longer uncomplicated. I just spoke with one of the city employees out in front of my house putting a sign up on the street saying that they're going to repave the whole street on Thursday, and no one will be able to park on the street on Thursday because they're going to repave the street in one day. And I told him it's impossible. The city workers are lazy. He says, no, it's done. It can be done in a day. And so I guess that they're going to redo the whole street and all of that, taxpayers' money and stuff like that. And I was telling him about some eschatological things that, because when I taught eschatology years ago, I taught him that in the realm that when something is in motion, that something ends catastrophically and immediately and suddenly. And I'm one of those kind of people that believes that that's the way the end of a culture will come. It will come as quick. As a matter of fact, if you want to see how cultures come and go, watch the movie Apocalypto by Mel Gibson. And you will understand what I think is going to happen to America. That's how quickly America is going to dissolve. Because we've lost, as the gentleman I was talking to up there, and he agreed, he's been 30 years working for the city. He's thinking about retirement. I told him there is no retirement. Man, what you going to do? What, try to go and take a vacation after you've gotten up every day and went to work? And he got a breeze job. All he does is go around and put signs on poles saying no parking during this time. That's what he does, 8 hours a day. Great little job, driving a truck, putting signs up. Let me tell you something. Yesterday, it was far simpler than today. Today it's more complicated, but what I'm asking you to do is carry God with you on your journey, wherever you go. Thank you for coming to my website. I want to thank the Wigleys, and I want to thank my good brother, Brother Lyles. I really appreciate you, and continuously reaffirm the idea of a centralized place in your heart and mind for God to reign supreme in you. And trust me, my friends, you will not be displeased. God bless you. This is your internet pastor, PJ, saying, hang tight.